Take your Bible, if you have a Bible with you this evening. We're turning to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Ezekiel in the chapter 33. I want to read just the first five verses of this chapter. Ezekiel chapter 33. Our title this evening is Heed the Warning. Heed the Warning. Ezekiel 33. And just verse 1 down to verse 5. Prophet speaking here, and he says again, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring this sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come, and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." Amen. We'll finish at verse 5, and we know that God again will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Now, when you come to the book of Ezekiel, and of course you're reading one of the prophets in the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel, as you read through his writings, he's slightly different than many of the other Old Testament prophets. And what I mean by that is that his ministry, while it has a strong note of warning, and we have read one of the warnings that he gives this evening, his primary focus is upon hope for the people of Israel and for the people in the land of Judah. There's a hope that comes through as you read that the land would finally be fully restored to them. So whenever you read the book of Ezekiel, there is a prophetic tone. There are promises given regarding the future, things that have still yet to happen, and regarding the future kingdom when Christ has returned to the earth. But while that might be the case as you read the book of Ezekiel, the fact is that his writing is still interspersed with warning through many different parts of Scripture. Through many different parts of the book of Ezekiel, he warns the people. He warns them because of their sin, because of their sinful nature, because of their rebellion against God, because of their rejection of God, because of their denial of God. He warns them because of all of these things. As you come to this passage of Scripture that we've read this evening in Ezekiel 33, we have here a statement by Ezekiel. And he's speaking about how God has told him to say these things. You see that in verse 1. "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them." So Ezekiel is seeking to be faithful to the commission, to the calling that God has given to him. He's seeking to faithfully declare the message of God. And it is a statement of how God has commissioned Ezekiel to be a watchman, seeking to faithfully warn the people. But while we know the context, while we can understand that there's a prophetic context, and while we can understand that he's speaking to the people in Israel, in Judah, there is no doubt that we can take this phrase at the end of verse 5, and we can lift that phrase out, and we can put a gospel application to it. Ezekiel says, "He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And what Ezekiel is really saying as you read through these words, as he tells the people what God has said to him, he's really saying, folks, heed the warning. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to the warning as it sounded out. I want to say to you this evening, heed the warning. At the very outset, heed the warning of the gospel. There is a parallel for us. There's a wonderful picture here for us that we can see when we come to these verses, because the warning that applied then, it still applies today. The gospel warning is there today. And it's there for those who are still outside of Christ. If you're in our meeting tonight and you're outside of Christ, the warning is for you. You can take it and you can personally say, "I'm not saved. This warning is directed at me." If you're tuned in at home, I want you to understand this evening, if you're not saved, that I'm speaking to you tonight. There's a warning from the Word of God. You need to heed the warning. There's three things that we see in these verses that we've read this evening about the warning. I want you to notice, first of all, that it's a clear warning. Look at verse 3. In the middle of verse 3, or just in verse 3, it says, "If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." So what we have is a picture. Ezekiel's speaking with a picture here, and so often you'll see that in Scripture where there are pictures that are painted. And we have this scenario where there's the potential of an invasion force coming suddenly upon the land. There's an attack of the enemy, as it were. Maybe perhaps you can think about films that you've watched in the past, and I like to watch good war films and things like that, and sometimes you see this type of scenario where there's an enemy coming to attack a city. Maybe it's a city with walls around it. Ancient city. And there's a watchman who's situated upon the city walls. Perhaps a watchtower on the border of the land or of the country. And the watchman gets a sight in the distance of an enemy force who's coming to attack. And they're approaching the land. They're approaching the borders perhaps of the land. They're coming towards sight of the city. And the watchman sounds a warning for the inhabitants of the land. He blows the trumpet. Maybe he lights a beacon to alert others of the imminent danger. That was a way that warning would have been given in ancient times, where beacons would have been established and there would have been people who would have been situated, and their role, their task was to light the beacon. And as that beacon lit up, then it gave a warning to another beacon further or closer to the city. And another beacon was lit, and so on and so on. That was a quick alert system. Of course, today things are so much more advanced, but there's still a need for an early alert system if this type of scenario came upon us. A few years back, we were on the south coast of England on holiday, and one day we went to Dover Castle. And when we were at Dover Castle, we saw the diversity between the ancient and the modern forms of warning. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but at Dover Castle, it's not just a castle, there's so much more to it. And one of the things that is there on that site at Dover Castle, there stands the remains of a Roman watchtower. And it's estimated that that watchtower was erected in 200 AD. So think about that just for a moment. 200 AD, that's 1800 years ago. Over 1800 years. But that watchtower served this purpose. There were actually originally two watchtowers, one on each side of the harbour and the area where the ships would come in. Now, one of them has since fallen into complete disrepair, but one has been retained and kept in its format, and it's there 1800 years ago. And this was the purpose. The watchtower was there to alert if the enemy was coming. On the same site, not very far away, there were the wartime tunnels, which were used for planning and for preparing for the potential invasion of Great Britain by Nazi forces within the same site. And you can go and you can have a tour around those tunnels, and you can see the places where those who were seeking to defend the country, they made all of their planning, and they monitored the radar technology or the radar activity. And they had all that technology there to pick up any sign of enemy aircraft or enemy ships, in order that defensive forces could be mobilized. So we have there an ancient watchtower, and on the other hand, we have what was the more modern radar technology. But those who were responsible, whether in a watchtower or whether in those tunnels monitoring the radar, they had one responsibility, and that was to give warning. I want to put it to you this evening, as you listen, that the warning that I have to give you tonight is much more serious than the warning of an invasion upon the land. Much more serious. You see, if there was an invasion upon the land, that is a serious matter. Of that, there's no doubt. But the eternal nature of the gospel warning is infinitely more important. It's of eternal consequence. Over these past months, since the start of the year, we've been dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, and we've had warning after warning about so many different things. We have had advice to wash our hands regularly with the social distance. You can see it. We're to avoid unnecessary travel, and that's still advice or certainly guidance. It's still recommended to avoid unnecessary travel. We're not to congregate in large groups if possible. And if we do congregate in large groups, those measures all should be in place. So there's been warnings with regard to that. And people are so keen to follow those warnings, and we can understand that, and rightly so. We are to be careful about these things. And yet the warning of the gospel is much more serious than anything relating to COVID-19. The warning of the gospel is much more serious than anything that we can imagine. And many people are taking COVID seriously. Many people are taking all of the advice, and they're applying all of the advice, whatever it might be. But what about your soul? Are you taking it seriously? Are you taking eternal matter seriously? The Bible, you see, clearly tells us that we're born as sinners. We're born with a sin nature, and it is that sin nature, it is that condition that separates us from God. In Ezekiel, the prophet writes in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, I think it is, he says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." There's a warning there about what will happen if you reject God. There's a warning about what will happen if you die in your sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sometimes we think about sin from the perspective of actions, the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we might think. But sin is more deeper rooted than that. Those things are sin, there's no question about that, but it's the output of a sinful nature. The person who lives, as it were, on the clean side of the road, the person who seeks to live a good life and does the best that they can and seeks to be as kind as they can and as generous as they can and seeks to be, to coin the phrase that we hear sometimes, that they would be called good living. But good living isn't what saves you. See, you can be the best of a person, but all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You can be the very best person that all your neighbors know, that your family know, and they could say he wouldn't do anything to hurt you. He wouldn't do anything to harm you. He'll give you the shirt off his back. He'll do this for you, that for you, or the other for you. But if you don't have Christ, you're bound for hell. You see, the fact remains that we're born as sinners, and we sin because of a sin nature. And there's none of us, preacher included, who can say that we're perfectly sinless. And that's the reason why we need this warning. God has declared the warning time and time again. He's declared it through the prophets. He's declared it through His Word. He's shown us what He thinks about sin. Think about this just for a moment. What does God think about sin? Well, you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And God took His own Son. And there, as Christ hung upon that cross, God punished Him. God judged Him. God poured out the wrath of God upon His beloved Son because of sin. That's what God thinks of sin. God has shown us what He thinks about sin. It's sin that separates us. God has called men to declare the truth of the gospel. Ezekiel was such a man to declare the truth. And God has called men to tell you that sin separates you from God, but that there's a way of escape from the judgment that's to come by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven and went to the cross and took that wrath and took that judgment upon Him. And He did it for you. Did it for your sin. Did it because of your sin. Did it so that your sin would be dealt with. And all you have to do is accept what Christ has done. There's a warning. It's a clear warning. But I want you to see as well the consequence of rejection. Look at verse 4. In the middle of verse 4 it says, "Whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning." his blood shall be upon him. Now this is the crux of the message. This is the central point for the listener today. It's a central point at any time. You see, when the gospel's declared, what have you done with it? What have you done with Jesus Christ? What have you done with the message? Because Ezekiel here, he outlines that there are two options. And the options are very simply this. You either accept it or you reject it. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground when it comes to the gospel. You either accept or reject. And in the scenario before us in these verses, as Ezekiel is speaking here about the potential of an impending invasion and the fact that there's a warning that would be given, the warning here is regarding the judgment of God. Look what it says in verse 2. This is God speaking to Ezekiel. He says, "Son of man, speak to the children of my people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast." What's God saying? God's saying, I can bring judgment. I can bring judgment upon the land. But here's the thing. When we take this and apply this to the gospel, God brings judgment upon sin. God has already judged sin, and he's paid for sin through the work of his Son. He's paid the price because of our sin through the work of his Son. But there's a warning that's given and people choose to ignore it. And as you choose to ignore this, and we think about the fact that this is a life or death situation, it's more than that. It's an eternal situation. These people who Ezekiel's writing about, if they reject this warning, their blood's upon their own head. They could lose their life simply through ignoring the warning, the sound of the trumpet, as it were. Now you would imagine in a situation like that, that as people perhaps are within a city, and they know the defenses perhaps are weak in that city, and they know that judgment is coming, they know an invasion is coming, and there's fear, and there's uncertainty, and everything that's going on, people would listen. And as they see others fleeing, that they would flee, that they would take heed of the warning, they would listen and they would run and flee from what was coming. Do you know, in 1980, there was a threat of a volcanic eruption on Mount St. Helens in Washington State in the United States of America. And there were repeated warnings given over a period of months to the people in the area to evacuate in order to be safe. Continual warnings, time and time again. There was one local man, and not to be confused with the former president of the United States, a man by the name of Harry R. Truman. And he lived within a mile of the volcano. And as the warnings were given, he refused to leave. And he kept refusing to leave. He claimed that the reports that the volcano was due or was going to erupt very soon, he claimed they were exaggerated. He didn't believe it. And everybody else was packing up. Everybody else was getting ready to go. And he refused to leave. In fact, he was even interviewed by local news reporters. And he put out his views that this was all exaggerated and nothing was going to happen. And for 2 months, Harry R. Truman was begged to leave. On the 18th of May, 1980, the volcano erupted. A greater magnitude of an eruption than what they even estimated. And Harry R. Truman died in his house a mile from the volcano. And they believe that he would have died within 1 second of the blast due to heat shock. As the volcano erupted, he didn't even have a second. Not even a second to try and pack up his things. It wasn't as you imagine, and perhaps you've seen in disaster movies on TV where there's a volcano eruption and there's a great cloud of ash and smoke and then people are starting to run away from it. He didn't get a second. Even if he had planned to heed the warning at the end, he was left with no hope of escape. You see, it was too late. It was too late. Do you know, when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't leave it too late. The consequence of rejection of the warning is so serious. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, the consequence of rejecting this warning doesn't stop with death. It has eternal consequence, because you'll stand before the judge, the righteous judge. And if you don't have Christ as your Savior, it's a lost eternity. An eternity of separation from God. An eternity of punishment, of wrath, of judgment in the place the Bible calls hell. Maybe you're here this evening, maybe you're tuned in online and you're thinking, well, I can leave my decision. I'll get right with God sometime. I have too much going on in my life to get right with God right now. I have too many things that I enjoy. I'm going to leave it, and at some point in the future, maybe I'll have an opportunity at the last second to turn to the Lord. Harry R. Truman thought that. He didn't even get a second. How do you know that you will even get a second? You see, death can come quickly. There's no guarantee of another breath for any one of us. We don't know the days of our life. We don't know how quickly they're numbered, how short or how long they might be. But if death was to come swiftly tonight to you, if death was to come to you tonight, where would you be? Are you going to keep putting off the decision? Are you going to continue to reject the warning? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came into this world to save you. You're going to reject what Christ has done. You're going to ignore His work. You're going to ignore His sacrifice. You're going to ignore the warning. And you're going to run that risk of entering out into a lost eternity. And you're going to do it for the sake of what? A few short days of pleasure in this earth? Because of your pride? Because you're afraid of what others might say? You're going to reject, and you're going to risk eternal judgment in the place the Bible calls hell. Why would you do it? See, there's a clear warning. There's a consequence of rejection. But I want you to see here as well, in this verse 5, the comfort of acceptance. And it's that last phrase that we referred to at the very start. He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. You see, Ezekiel here concludes this section by declaring that there is hope. There is hope for those who will heed the warning that's given. As the trumpet is sounded, he that taketh warning, he that listens, he that obeys the warning shall deliver his soul. Those who hear the warning in this scenario, they'll flee from the wrath that's to come at the hand of an enemy, at the hand of an army, as it were. But we can see the clear contrast in this verse between those who reject the warning and those who accept the warning. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. What is that telling us? It's telling us that judgment is sure. Judgment is certain. Judgment will come. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. It's exactly the same principle here. Either reject it or accept it. But if you reject it, well, you're lost. If you accept it, there's hope. You'll deliver your soul. When we consider the gospel, and you know there is that choice between accepting and rejecting. And there is that choice. But yet the reality is that there's not really a choice. Because the only wise choice is acceptance of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done at Calvary. That's the only wise choice. You're kidding yourself if you think that any other choice is a wise one. See, it's only through accepting Christ that deliverance will come. It's only through accepting Christ that salvation will come. It's only through accepting Christ that there's any hope, that there's any assurance for eternity. It's only through trusting completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, that sin is fully and finally dealt with. It's only there that you will find true hope and true comfort for the future. Something that you can hold on to. That you can have that hope that is sure and certain. You know, there's no comfort in uncertainty. Sure, there's not. None of us like to be in uncertain circumstances. None of us like to have questions as to what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen about this or that or the other. We don't like that. It makes us uncomfortable. When it comes to eternal matters, the only comfort that you can find is in placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no comfort in ignoring the truth. There's no comfort in hoping that it's wrong. We're born as sinners. I've said that already tonight, but I'm going to repeat it. We're born as sinners. All of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. Sin separates us from God. God hates sin. God hates sin so much that His Son went to the cross so that sin would be dealt with. You see, there's a Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. As the warning sounds out tonight, I want to say to you that there's only satisfaction to be found in heeding the warning. There's no eternal satisfaction to be found in rejecting the warning. Oh, you might feel satisfied for now. You might feel that I'm all right. I'm okay for now. And the things that I live for at the moment, well, you know, they bring me a wee bit of comfort. They bring me a wee bit of peace. For a wee while anyway. Do you know, I'm all right if I can have that fixed for another little while. It doesn't last forever. It's not lasting. But the satisfaction that's found in having your eternity dealt with and knowing that your eternity is secure because you've trusted in Christ, that's a satisfaction worth having. There are so many here this evening who would testify to that fact, who could stand up here or could stand at that microphone down there, and we could call them up one by one, and they would testify to the fact that it's great, it is wonderful to have that comfort of knowing that their eternity is secure. You testify to it. Could you? Is your eternity settled? Have you hope? Or are you just living for yourself? Living for the things of this world, making no place for God in your life, hoping that you'll be all right. He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Have you taken warning? I would implore you tonight to heed the warning, to come to the cross. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have your sin to be dealt with for now and for eternity. Amen.